as you are led to give your tithes and offerings to the church, you can do that by clicking on the Shop Now button that's on the Facebook page, or by going to lbcblanchard.com and clicking on the Contact and the Tithe button, which will lead you to the online giving. Your interest in these services is important to us, and so again, a way for you to stay connected with us and enable these things to happen is to give online. Again, those buttons, it's the Shop Now button on the Facebook site or the lbcblanchard.com Contact and Tithe. Today's message is Do Not Be Afraid. Something that changed up. I was going to do something about being let go from the conviction of murder. Obviously, each of us had a part to play in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as we go through this Easter season, but I felt that it was necessary for us to look at Matthew and to understand Jesus' conviction to us not to be afraid, not to live a life of fear. And one of the things as we turn to Matthew chapter 14, and we'll be looking at a couple other sections of Scripture, but Matthew chapter 14 will be the area we start with. As you turn there, or we'll show it here on the screen in just a few minutes. I don't think any of us have ever had any illusion that we're not going to have some difficulty in our life. Do you? Anybody here think life is just going to be perfectly rosy and wonderful and there's not going to be any problems? Nobody raised their hand, and that's good, because that's not the truth, is it? Jesus told us that there will be problems, that the troubles will be coming, and that you need to be ready for it. And the way that you're ready for it, of course, is by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the only way to relieve the stress, the pain, the suffering, whatever it is, the downright terrifying situation that many people find themselves in today, the only way to get through that is through Jesus. And so as we look at this and we look at what he said to Matthew and to the apostles and see how we can apply that to our life, I want us to look today at Matthew chapter 14. We're going to read verses 22 and 23. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was there alone. Why is this important for us to understand? Why do we need to know what God does in times of trouble? He was in this crowd. He had so many people that were relying upon him for advice, for to hear this message, this gospel message. And he left them, and he gave them... We're here. We've been on the 5,000. He's fed all of these people. He's found a way to take care of all those problems. And yet, they're still afraid. They still don't believe 100% that he can take care of them. And I think many of us fall into that category, don't we? No matter what the last situation was that God got us through, when the new one comes up, we still feel lost. We still feel like he can't handle this. This is the one situation, isn't it, that God can't handle. God can't take care of a coronavirus. He can't take care of the flu. He can't support me and my family as we get ready to walk through this valley of trouble. He's molding us. He's trying to shape us. And how we respond to these crises, how we respond to the trials of life, whatever it may be, again, financial, emotional, whatever the circumstances may be, how we respond to that is important. And he molds us through each one of those, because it should be to the point that the next crisis that we face, we deal with a little bit differently than we did the last one, right? That maybe we don't make as many bad decisions. I know with my girls, raising them, my hope was that they would not make the same mistakes that I made in my life. How about you? Any of you that are parents, did you hope that your kids would follow exactly in your footsteps and make the same mistakes that you did? No. Jesus has the same hope for us. But also recognize recognizes that there are some things we just have to learn for ourselves. And there are some things, as he's sitting here telling, he's just performed all these miracles and people still are not believing. They still have concerns. They still have crises that they need to deal with. There are uncontrollable circumstances and things in our life that we don't have any way to fix. I wish there was a way that I could, some circumstance, some button that I could push that would protect all of you, that would protect our entire congregation from the effects of this disease. Some folks in our congregation have already seen their hours cut at work. Some folks in our congregation have already been laid off because of this. So there's an economic impact. They didn't foresee that. A month ago, did you have any? They had no idea as they made plans of what they were going to be doing tomorrow or next week or for Easter, what they were going to do. How? They had no idea they were going to lose their job or that their job would be cut back. Uncontrollable circumstances. We don't know that we're going to get cancer. We don't know that we're going to have whatever disease it is that comes down the pipe. It's not something, if we could avoid it, we would, wouldn't we? I don't know of anybody who's had cancer or any sickness of any kind that would say, yep, sign me up. I'm not out there trying to get the COVID-19 disease, I can assure you of that. But if I get it, or whatever the circumstance may be, we'll deal with it. And we'll deal with it with the spirit of an understanding of the love of Christ. The other thing we need to understand is that life is going to bring undesirable circumstances to us. You know, things have happened in my life that I did not enjoy what happened after the decision that I made that was wrong. Okay? There have been times that I have said things to people that I regret saying after I said them. There are times that I didn't do something that I was being urged to do or that I thought was right, and I've regretted it later. Or it's led to circumstances that then maybe a door was closed that I couldn't walk through again. You face those same things. God is molding us. All of these things help us make our faith valid. It makes us understand who God is and how He's important to our life. Otherwise, everything we do on Sunday morning, why did you come here today if you don't understand how powerful God is? If you aren't willing to rely upon Him? If this is just something that you did just because it was someplace to be today, I can assure you you'd be better and more comfortable at home. That recliner is a lot more comfortable than that pew. The couch is a lot more comfortable than that pew. You have a lot better food and snacks at home than I do for you here. But if you wouldn't have come here today, or if you wouldn't have signed on to Facebook, you wouldn't have an understanding, a feeling of community that you have by being here today. Whether you're 3 feet apart, 6 feet apart, however far apart you are, whether you're on the internet looking in, however it is, you still have a connection with God's people, with each other. And that's important. Because if you didn't have that, the circumstances would be painful. The other thing for us to understand in verses 24 through 26 of Matthew 14, he tells us that he's not going to forsake us. He said the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. What's the importance of that? Jesus, they know how powerful he is. He has just fed 5,000 people. He has healed numerous. He's brought people back from the dead. They still don't understand. They just saw him perform a miracle to feed 5,000 people. What has he done in your life that now you're here in this situation with COVID-19 or whatever the circumstances, and we still don't trust him. We still do not give him complete authority over our lives. We still want to try to do it again. He's walking on water to go out to this boat. Through the storm. Just imagine. I don't even, and yet they still are doubting. He's walking on water. And their first reaction is it's a ghost. These are his disciples, people. These are the people that knew him the best. This will be like my wife and kids see me, you know, coming in the house. Oh, it's a ghost. They may say that anyway. I don't know. We have to believe. He will not forsake us. Even in the midst of the storm, he went to his disciples, didn't he? He got out there to them. They're in the middle of this storm out on the lake, the Sea of Galilee, and he walked to them in the middle of that storm. And they still didn't know who he was, but he still went to them. The storm wasn't enough to keep him away. And so if you need God today, if you need him in your life, if you have a crisis going on, there isn't anything that he can't reach you through. Nothing. He conquered death. There isn't anything that Satan can put in front of him that he can't overcome. The other thing to remember is that we're not him. I'm going to let you down. You're going to let me down. We're going to falter in our own lives. We're not going to do everything that is necessary for us to be able to sustain ourselves. We can't follow this entire book by ourselves. I don't have the ability or the power. I could go get 3 doctorate degrees in theology and still not be able to live up to everything that's in this book. God knows that. He knows the temptations that we face every day. He knows that we're going to falter. He knows that we're going to be frustrated. You know? Am I happy that I don't know what to do? I've had to make some decisions this week, and I have some more to make over these next few days that I don't know what's right in my mind. I don't know what to do. I try to call somebody and they don't answer their telephone, so that makes me angry. Right? Why can't they answer their phone? Well, probably because they're in the middle of something else, right? How come I don't answer my phone? They probably get mad at me because I don't call you back as fast as you'd like some of them. Matter of fact, I know you do. But we get frustrated. God knows that. You know what else? We're going to be tired. Are you tired? I know many of you have come to me and this is where one of the big circumstances is, I put my time in 20 years ago. I served here. I served there in the church. Now somebody else. Now I'm tired. He knows we're going to get tired. And so he gives us the strength and the courage that we need to be able to move on. It's not easy every day getting up and walking out into a world that just beats you to a bloody pulp. It's just not easy. It's frustrating, and you get tired. You get tired. And you know what else you're going to do? You're going to be afraid. The Bible tells us not to be afraid. It is the largest command that Jesus gave to us. 364 times. I almost said 365. 364 times in the Bible tells us, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Why do you think he told us that many times? That was before the calendar was created, so it wasn't like some magical thing that they did, right, to match up for every day. That just happened to be a genius. But the fact of the matter is, it was important to God. He knew we would become afraid. He knew humans would be afraid. His creation would be afraid. You have babies. You have children. All, most of you have been parents or are parents. Babies get afraid. Have they ever been afraid? Any time in their life have they been afraid? 6, verse 48, we see another connection to this. In Mark's recounting of this, he says, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them.
His strength, through his peace, we're going to make this. We're going to make it through all.
you don't know who Jesus is, I ask that you come forward and let me pray with you. If you maybe are a follower of Christ, but this crisis is really shaking your faith, you don't know which way to turn, I need to pray with you. Maybe there's something else going on in your life that's just completely shaken the foundation of who Christ is to you. We need to talk. We need to support each other. We need to give strength and to bring unity and crisis to be diverted and to come back into the hope of Jesus, just as the disciples did, the people that were the closest to him, because he knew that we're going to falter. He knows we're going to get tired. He knows that we're going to be frustrated, and he knows that we're going to fear. The only way out of that is through Jesus.